Our sermon passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 40. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles now with me. Genesis 40 in verse 1, again in the Pew Bible. If you'd like to use that, you can find the passage on page 45. We've been going through the book of Genesis for quite some time now, and we're getting closer and closer to the end. There are 50 chapters, and today we're going to look at the 40th chapter. We're in this later part of Genesis dealing with the story of Joseph, a story that's familiar and loved by many, even those who are not Christians, in fact. And so a few weeks ago, we looked at chapter 39, where we saw that Joseph, though he had been sold into slavery, the Lord was with him as he was serving as a slave, as he was experiencing temptation, and then as he even was later put into prison. And we learned from that in our times of prosperity, in our times of temptation, and even in our times of suffering, as those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know and we can rest assured in the fact that the Lord is with us as well. So then today we're going to look here at chapter 40, all 23 verses. This continues in the narrative where Joseph is in prison. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's most holy word now. Genesis 40 and verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Well, in the reading of God's word there, verse 23, and may the Lord bless his word to each and every one of us as we look at it together this morning. What have you had to wait for even this week? For you boys and girls, as you've been back to school, I'm sure you've had to wait for the end of the school day. to come. That's something I'm sure you have waited on. Some of you may have had to wait for food to be served or for traffic to be cleared. Others of you may have had to wait on your spouse to get ready or your kids to get ready. Maybe even this morning, some of you, I'm sure, have also had to wait on an appointment. There are many things, some big, some small, that we all have to wait for in our lives. And in our passage this morning, we're reminded that we also sometimes have to wait on the Lord in our lives. We have to wait on Him to provide something for us. We have to wait on Him to take action in our lives in some way. And yet waiting for the Lord, just as it is with waiting for pretty much anything else, can be extremely difficult. It tries our patience, as we all know very well. In fact, it tries our faith in God Himself often, as I think we all know very well. Because it often seems when we have to wait on the Lord that the Lord has forgotten us or that the Lord no longer cares about us. But what we'll learn here from the life of Joseph this morning is that though we do sometimes have to wait on God, we can always still trust in God. Now, we don't have to worry. We don't have to become impatient or angry or scared when these times come into our lives. But rather, we can remain calm. We can remain peacefully patient. We can trust in the Lord as we wait. And so as we look at these verses this morning here from Genesis 40, that's the main point to see and for all of us to apply to our lives. That though you will sometimes have to wait on the Lord, you can always trust in Him. You can always trust in Him. And so let's look now at the text and see how we get this. The first point on the outline is that there will be difficult times of waiting in your life. There will be difficult times of waiting in your life. And I should say, in your bulletin, there is a sermon outline as well as all the cross-references and quotations I'll be referring to this morning. It's been a few weeks since we've looked at the life of Joseph here, but if you remember, it was in Genesis 37 that the story of Joseph began, and it began with Joseph given dreams of greatness from the Lord. And of course, we know the Lord does not ordinarily give such dreams to His people today, now that the Scriptures have been completed, but this was His way at the time of revealing His plan for Joseph's life, that though Joseph was the second youngest son in the family, he was to rise to a position of preeminence over the rest of the family. And yet, as we've also seen, Joseph's brothers hated him for this. They envied him because of this. They didn't like the idea of their little brother Joseph coming to become greater than the rest of them. And so they decided at first that they were going to kill Joseph, but instead of killing Joseph, they sold Joseph to some Ishmaelites who were going down to Egypt. And when they arrived in Egypt, we're then told in Genesis 39, Joseph was sold as a slave to an Egyptian man named Potiphar, who was an officer in Pharaoh's army. And Potiphar thought that Joseph was a faithful man. So eventually, Potiphar gave Joseph a position of being overseer of the house. So we've seen that while he was a slave in Egypt, Joseph's life was starting to look a lot better. But then you'll remember when that happened, things started to go back downhill for Joseph. Because when he would not have relations with Potiphar's wife, as she had repeatedly told him to, Joseph was falsely accused of attacking her. And even though Potiphar didn't seem to believe the accusations put against Joseph, he had Joseph put into prison. But then, as we're told in the end of chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph even as he was in prison. And so, just as he once was the overseer of Potiphar's house, Joseph then became the overseer of the prison in which he was being held. And so, as we take up the contents here of chapter 40 this morning, this is where we are in the narrative. Joseph is in prison in Egypt, and he is the overseer of the prison. And so let's look then at these first three verses of the chapter where we're told, "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined." Now, the chief butler and the chief baker were some of the most important people in all of Pharaoh's administration. The chief butler was Pharaoh's cupbearer. He was the man in charge of making sure Pharaoh had his cup of wine every day. And the chief baker was the man in charge of all of Pharaoh's food. And so, as J.G. Voss puts it, I'm giving you this quote on your outline. He says, as chief butler and chief baker, they held very responsible positions. Having control over the king's food and drink, his health and even his life depended on their integrity and watchfulness. These were some of Pharaoh's most trusted officers, the chief butler and the chief baker, especially since poisoning the king's food and drink was one of the most common ways of assassination in those days. But apparently, even though they were some of Pharaoh's most trusted men, they offended Pharaoh one day, we're told. And perhaps Pharaoh got sick after eating a meal, and so he assumed that they had poisoned him. Maybe he just didn't like how they had prepared his food one day. We don't know exactly what they did to offend him, but what we do know, and what's pertinent to the rest of the story, is that when they offended Pharaoh, Pharaoh had them put into prison. And yet, not just into any prison, but as we're told here in verse 3, into the prison in the house of the captain of the guard, the place where Joseph was confined. And if you remember from Genesis 39, verse 20, Joseph, when he was put into prison, was not just put into any prison either. He was put into the prison where the king's prisoners were confined. It was a prison, actually, in Potiphar's house, where he had earlier been serving as a servant. It was the best prison in all of Egypt. And as we see here, this is where the chief butler and the chief baker were also put into custody. And notice what Moses, the human author of Genesis, tells us what happened to these two men when they were put into custody. He says in verse 4 that they were both put under the charge of Joseph and were served by Joseph. And so here was Joseph serving two of Pharaoh's most trusted men while he was wrongly imprisoned. And as we'll see in a later point this morning, that was no coincidence whatsoever. But you see, while his situation now is starting to improve again, there's kind of this cycle going on in Joseph's life, we still have to remember that this was a very difficult time of waiting for Joseph. Yeah. Genesis 37 verse 2 tells us that Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dreams of greatness. And according to Genesis 41 verse 46, Joseph would not be released from prison and promoted Pharaoh until he was 30 years old, which according to Genesis 41 verse 1 is 2 years after his time in prison with the chief butler and the chief baker. In other words, he had the dreams when he was 17, and now here in our passage, Joseph is 28 years old. In other words, he had been waiting 11 long years for these dreams from God to come to pass. And not only had he been waiting for 11 long years, but it didn't seem, at least from a human perspective, that his dreams would ever be fulfilled. Now, yes, his situation was improving, but he still was an imprisoned slave living in a foreign land. And so, no matter what, he most likely would never see his family again. He would be a captive forever, and most likely would die in captivity. And so, if that was the case, how would he ever come to be preeminent over his father and his brothers, as the Lord had signified to him in the dream? It was a seeming impossibility. And so while it was good that Joseph's situation was improving in prison, Joseph was also at the time going through a very difficult time of waiting upon the Lord in prison. And friends, if you haven't already, you will experience this in your life as well. You may not be put in prison in a faraway land waiting on dreams of greatness to be fulfilled. I doubt that will be the case. But in one way or another, you will also go through difficult times of waiting on God. Some of you may remember, it's interesting, Pastor Holdeman actually mentioned his name this morning, but one of our former members, Nathaniel Pockris. Nathaniel graduated from IU with a master's degree in library science and was looking for a job in a university library. And yet, if you were around at the time, just a couple of years ago, for many months, Nathaniel had to wait on the Lord to give him a job. He kept applying for jobs. He kept traveling. He had some application or some interviews for jobs. But I think it was something like 2 years he had to wait from the time he graduated until the time that he got the job in his field. And if you would have talked to him at the time, he would have made sure you knew that this was not the easiest situation for him to go through. as it wouldn't be for any of us. And in a similar way, we will go through these times where we may have to wait on the Lord for a job, or we may have to wait on the Lord for a spouse. We may have to wait on the Lord for children. We may have to wait on the Lord for your health to improve. We may have to wait on the Lord for a living situation to improve. Some of you are waiting even for these things today. And what we need to realize, and this is, we see this in Joseph's life here, is that this waiting is actually a normal part of life for God's people. You want to look at one of the things that's most commanded in the Bibles. It's to wait on the Lord, which we see. You could think of Abraham, who had to wait many years before his promised son was born. You could think of David, who had to wait many years before he ascended the throne. Of course, we could all think of Jesus, who had to wait 33 years in humiliation, mind you, before he received his exaltation as the mediatorial king. And so this is what was going on in Joseph's life when he was in prison. He was waiting on God. And we too will have to go through these difficult times of waiting as well. So that's the first point for us to consider from this passage. But then as we see secondly on the outline, sometimes it will seem as if your waiting is coming to an end. Sometimes it will seem as if your waiting is coming to an end. So as we continue looking at the passage, we learn that both the chief butler and the chief baker then had dreams while they were living in the prison with Joseph. Moses tells us this in verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And we find the contents of the first dream, that is the dream of the chief butler, in verses 9 to 11. And in his dream, he saw a vine that had three branches, and as he beheld these three branches, he noticed that he saw them bud, bloom, and bear fruit all within a short period of time. And so the branches had grapes growing on them, and having Pharaoh's cup in his hand, the butler saw himself in the dream take the grapes and press them into Pharaoh's cup and then hand the cup for Pharaoh to drink. And then in verses 16 to 18, we're told the contents of the second dream, that of the chief baker. And in his dream, it's kind of similar. There are three baskets this time, white baskets on his head. And in the uppermost basket are lots of many kinds of bread for Pharaoh to eat. But before the bread could be taken by the baker for Pharaoh to eat, birds came and devoured it all out of the basket. And so each man had his own dream with his own interpretation. Each of the dreams pertained to their particular responsibilities as the chief butler and as the chief baker. But when they woke up the next morning, they were sad as a result of having these dreams. Look at verse 6. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." For the Egyptians, they believed that dreams contained knowledge about the future, and when there were two dreams put together, they were certain to come to fulfillment. And so for the chief baker and the chief butler, they really wanted to know the meaning of their two dreams, because in their minds, it was going to reveal to them their own futures. But, as they said to Joseph, they had no one to interpret them. Being in the prison, they no longer had access to the Egyptian magicians who would do these things for them. And so they were without the ability to obtain this knowledge about their future, hence making them quite sad. But then notice what Joseph said in response to their sadness, the second part of verse 8. So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." And here Joseph both rebukes the men, saying it's not the Egyptian magicians who are ever going to give you an interpretation of the dreams. And he also witnesses to the men, saying that the interpretations, they belong to God, the God of Israel, in fact. One author puts it this way. He says that by saying the interpretations belong to God, Joseph is thus denying the magical, mystical power of Egyptian magicians. And so, being a man of God, the true God, Joseph asked the men to tell him the dreams, because he had been given dreams by God before, which he understood, and he believed that God could enable him to interpret the dreams for these men. And here we need to understand that by offering to interpret the dreams for these men, Joseph was also exercising his faith in God. Because as one author puts it, if Joseph had given up faith in his own dreams coming to fulfillment, he never would have offered to help these men in interpreting their dreams. But you see, he wanted to help them interpret their dreams because he still believed in the validity of them, that this is how God, one of the ways God spoke at the time. And so he believed in them still because he was still believing that his dreams of greatness would come to be fulfilled in some way and at some time. And so he then went on to give the interpretation of these two dreams. And maybe the Lord gave him the interpretation immediately, or maybe, as Martin Luther thought, it came to him as he sought the Lord in prayer. But either way, this is what Joseph said to the men. Of the first dream, he said to the chief butler, verse 12, "Now this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." In the Bible, to have your head lifted up is to be exalted. And so in this case, the chief butler would be restored to his position and office in Pharaoh's house. And as Joseph revealed, this would happen in 3 days' time, where he'd be released from prison and would go back to serving Pharaoh. And so the chief butler had a good dream with a good interpretation. And seeing that was the case for the chief butler, the chief baker then thought that he wanted to know the interpretation to his dream. But as we're told by Moses here, his did not have a good interpretation. Verse 18, "So Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you.'" So like the chief butler, the chief baker would also have his head lifted up by Pharaoh, but in a much different way. He would have his head lifted up from him, Moses says, by Pharaoh. Right? He would be hanged in 3 days' time. He would not be restored to his position. He would not be exalted. He would be killed for what he had done. And to make it worse, just like in his dream, his flesh would be eaten by the birds. It's something that was utterly shameful for the Egyptians, who placed such a high priority on the preservation of the body after death. We see that in the fact that Joseph's body was embalmed, for instance. So this was the interpretation of the dreams. Chief butler is going to be restored. Chief baker is going to be killed. And notice then that seeing that one of these two men was actually going to go back to Pharaoh's presence, what did Joseph do? He saw his opportunity to ask for freedom, and he went after it. So if you look at verse 14, he said to the chief butler, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I've done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." Right? Joseph knew that he had been wrongly imprisoned, and so he asked the chief butler, "Remember me when you're back in Pharaoh's presence. Make mention of me that I might be released." Because he knew that having helped the chief butler interpret his dreams and gave him a good interpretation, that the chief butler may be now happy to help him. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Right? This was his opportunity. If you had been in prison waiting for something to come to pass for 11 long years that seemed as if it would never come to pass, and yet here you're helping a man who's going to go back to the king, to the man who can set you free from prison, this was Joseph's opportunity. J.G. Voss says, "No doubt Joseph hoped to be released from prison soon. Very likely he thought that the chief butler would be so happy about being released from prison and restored to his position that he would only be too glad to intercede with Pharaoh for Joseph." And so you see what's going on here. He's waiting in this difficult time, but now having helped the chief butler, it's starting to seem as if his time of waiting may be coming to an end. And brothers and sisters, we also experience this in our own lives. We have two couples in our congregation right now who are planning to get married this coming October. And while that may have seemed far away for them months in the past, now, as it's the middle of August, it's getting closer and closer. It's just 2 months away. This is exciting for them because they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And they're not there yet, but they can see that light, and that keeps them going, and that encourages them, and that excites them because it seems as if they're waiting, their end of their waiting is getting closer. And there may be times when you've been waiting on your health to improve, and all of a sudden it does start to improve. And you may be given a job interview after praying for a job for months or years. And all of a sudden it seems as if my waiting might be coming to an end. That I will be given the thing that I've needed the Lord to give me for so long and that I've been praying about. And when that happens, it's exciting to say the least. No doubt, Joseph was beside himself with joy when he knew the chief butler was going back to Pharaoh's presence. It very well could be the end of our difficult time of waiting. It's a joyous occasion. So yes, though we'll have to go through these difficult seasons of waiting, sometimes it will seem as if the waiting is going to end, that it's coming to an end. And more often than not, it's because the waiting will come to an end. But it could also be leading up to a greater time of disappointment. And we need to keep this in mind, because as we see thirdly on the outline, at the same time, your waiting may be unexpectedly prolonged. Granted, something we don't like to think about, but something we need to think about. Look here at verses 20 to 22. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So having learned of Joseph's interpretations, now we're told of the fulfillment of these dreams. And as Moses says here, Pharaoh lifted up the heads of the chief baker and the chief butler. The chief butler was restored as Joseph had said. The chief baker was hanged as Joseph had said. And Moses, in fact, he uses the same terminology to make sure we know that it was an exact fulfillment, that Pharaoh had lifted up the heads of these men, that these things had come to pass exactly as Joseph had said they would. And though it was sad, of course, for this chief baker to be killed, this also would have been a great encouragement to Joseph's faith. Because now he had proof that dreams from God will be fulfilled and that he was an accurate interpreter of dreams from God. So if the prisoner's dreams had come to fulfillment exactly as he had interpreted them, then that means his own dreams would come to fulfillment as he had interpreted them as well. In other words, though he hadn't risen to a position of preeminence yet, he was now reassured that this would happen one day in his life. I've given you a quote from commentator R. Kent Hughes. He puts it this way. He says, "How heartening for Joseph. For 11 years he had believed that his dreams would come true, and now he has solid objective evidence of his power through God to interpret dreams. So now he was doubly sure that his own two dreams would be fulfilled." It also would have given him greater hope that the chief butler would actually tell Pharaoh about his cause and plead for deliverance, because now the chief butler would also have proof that Joseph was an accurate interpreter of dreams, that he had been telling the truth, in other words, when he told him of his wrongful sufferings, thereby giving the butler greater reason to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. But the point is, the dreams of the prisoners had come to be fulfilled, and they came to be fulfilled exactly as Joseph had interpreted them, thereby making it look quite good for Joseph that he would be released. And no longer did his situation seem to be hopeless, but now he was undoubtedly confident that the chief butler would speak on his behalf, and in a short amount of time, Joseph would be out of prison, and the dreams of greatness would be fulfilled in his own life. But is this what happened? Well, sadly, it's not what happened. As Moses concludes the chapter, verse 23, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Now, we're not told why the chief butler forgot him. Perhaps it was an oversight. Maybe once the chief butler got his own freedom, he didn't care anymore about the prisoner he had left behind. All we know is that he forgot Joseph, and when he later came to realize that he had forgotten Joseph, he knew he had done something wrong. Now, we'll read next week in Genesis 41, verse 9, speaking of his forgetfulness. "Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I remember my faults this day.'" So when everything seemed to be so promising for Joseph that he would be released in just a few days' time, he was forgotten, and he was forgotten by the man, perhaps the only man, who could have saved his life at the time. And as you can imagine, this would have been incredibly disappointing for Joseph. When this happened, his hopes were dashed in a moment. When he realized that the chief butler was not going to speak on his behalf or hadn't spoken on his behalf, Joseph undoubtedly went from an all-time spiritual high to an all-time spiritual low. Now he had to deal with the reality that he may actually never be released, and though he trusted in God to fulfill the promises, they may actually never come to be fulfilled. And so instead of having his time of waiting come to an end, which is what he thought would take place, it was unexpectedly prolonged. In fact, it was unexpectedly prolonged for another 2 entire years until the chief butler would remember him. So for 2 more years, think of that, 2 more years, he had to wonder, would he be exalted or would he die in this dungeon? what was already a hard situation became much harder for him. And friends, I'm sorry to say, this also may be your experience at times as well, where you, just when you think the waiting is about to come to an end, that's when it's unexpectedly prolonged. For instance, you may think your health is improving, but then the next day it's taken a turn for the worse. You may think you're going to marry someone, but then the next day the relationship is called off. That's in no comment on those who are planning to get married. You may think you have the job interview. I realize that as I said it, that sounds a little bad. Right? You may think these things are going to happen. You may think the waiting's going to come to end. And yes, it may come to an end, but sometimes it may not. Now, when I was about to graduate from college with my music degree, I had one final thing to do, and that was to give a senior recital. And this was an exciting time of life for me because, no offense to those of you who are music students, but I was ready to be done with music school. I had had enough of this field. I was going to get married that summer. I was going to start up the pastoral internship here at the church. I was moving on in a new direction in my life. But at my music school, before you could give your senior recital, you first had to give what they call a preliminary hearing. Essentially, the professors have to make sure you're ready for the recital before they let you give your recital. And as some of you may remember, I failed my hearing. I failed my hearing, and so even though I was excited to be done with music school, I was excited to graduate and marry and go on with my life, I then had to do those things while also spending a whole other year of practicing my instrument, preparing for a recital, and doing what I certainly did not want to be doing at that time. You're going to have these things. They're not fun. Certainly, they're not easy. They're hard. And so, yes, there are difficult times of waiting. It may seem as if it's coming to an end, but at the same time, you may be greatly disappointed and have your waiting prolonged. And yet, that's not where the story ends, is it? Because no matter how long we have to wait on the Lord, if we are God's people through faith in Jesus Christ, we can always trust the Lord, no matter how long we have to wait. And so we've seen this morning already, this is our fourth and final point, we've seen that Joseph believed that his dreams of greatness would be fulfilled, that he trusted in the Lord to keep that promise. This is why he was willing to interpret the dreams of the prisoners. What's more, we've seen that his faith was encouraged as he saw the dreams come to fulfillment in accordance with his interpretation. And what we need to see now is why Joseph could keep trusting the Lord even though he had to keep waiting for another 2 years. And it's for these same reasons that you and I can keep trusting the Lord even when our waiting has been unexpectedly prolonged. There are four reasons we can derive from the text for this. And the first is that you can always trust the Lord because He is always with you. You can always trust the Lord because He's always with you. If you remember from Genesis 39, this is why Joseph was made the overseer of Potiphar's house. This is why Joseph was able to resist the temptation. This is why Joseph was made the overseer of the king's prison. It was, as Moses makes clear in chapter 39, because the Lord was with Joseph. Being in a covenant relationship with each other, the Lord was with Joseph in a special way to bless him and to be kind and gracious to him, to provide for him and to fulfill his promises to him and to protect him and to take care of him and strengthen him. And by implication, the same was true even in chapter 40 when Joseph was forgotten by the chief butler. As commentator Alan Ross says, others may have forgotten him, but God would not. And the same is true for believers in Christ today. We have to endure the times of waiting, but the Lord is always with us as we endure the times of waiting, with us to bless us, with us to do good to us. And so if that's the case, then we can always trust Him, even though we have to wait. Second, you can always trust the Lord because He's always working through trials to strengthen your faith. As we read earlier from James chapter 1, this is why the Lord brings trials into our lives in the first place. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, boys and girls, how do you strengthen your muscles? You use them. You exercise them, right? You ride your bike. You throw a ball. You run around. Because even though those things can be difficult and tiring after a period of time, that's how your muscles become stronger. It's the same thing with our faith. If our faith is to grow, it needs to be used. It needs to be exercised. It needs to be tired out, if you will. It needs to be stretched. John Calvin says of Joseph's experience, Therefore, we are all taught in His person that nothing is more improper than to prescribe the time in which God shall help us, since He purposely for a long season keeps His own people in anxious suspense, that by this very experiment they may truly know what it is to trust in Him. That's why Joseph had to wait for 2 years before being released from prison, so that he would learn even more what it means to trust in God, to strengthen and to increase his faith. The same is true for us. Just because we're waiting doesn't mean God's forgotten us or doesn't care. He's working to strengthen our faith, to bring us closer to Him, so that we would glorify Him more and more. Knowing that, then of course we can trust in Him at all times, even as we wait. Third, that you can always trust in the Lord because He's always working out His good purposes for your life. In Joseph's mind, the chief butler should have remembered him immediately so that he would be released from prison immediately. But in the providence of God, he didn't remember Joseph for another 2 years, because it was 2 years later when Pharaoh had his dreams and needed Joseph to interpret them. And it was through Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams and Pharaoh's subsequent exaltation of Joseph that God had ordained to fulfill His promise of greatness to Joseph. Put another way, this was all the perfect plan of God. This was how God wanted to bring about Joseph's preeminence. It was not when the chief butler was released. It was when the chief butler was around as Pharaoh 2 years later had his dreams. And the same thing is true for us. He's always working out His good purposes for our lives, even when it seems as if He's forgotten us. Isaiah 14:24 says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand." And then fourth, we can always trust in the Lord because Jesus Christ always trusted in the Lord for us. As we've seen many times in the past, Joseph's life is a clear foreshadowing of the life of Jesus Christ. And so as Joseph endured a long time of humiliation and waiting, so we see in the New Testament that Jesus also endured a long time of humiliation and waiting. When He came to this earth, He came with the promise of the Father that He would be exalted by the Father. And yet before He could ever receive the fulfillment of that promise, He had to live 33 years as a man. And in those years as a man, had to endure great, great suffering. In other words, Jesus also had to wait on the Lord. And as He waited, He also went through very difficult situations where He was tempted to sin, where He experienced loss and pain, was betrayed and beaten. Worst of all, was unjustly arrested and murdered. And yet, unlike how we respond, Jesus never doubted in the Lord or His goodness, but Jesus always trusted in the Lord in His goodness. And brothers and sisters in Christ today, we have to realize that Jesus trusted in the Lord for us, so that we would be forgiven of all the times when we gripe and moan and complain as we have to wait, but also so that we could be empowered by His Spirit to wait patiently and by faith in the Lord as He did. Whenever my family and I have gone swimming this summer, my sons like to stand on the edge of the pool and they like to jump into the pool with me standing in the water to catch them. And for one of my sons, before he will ever jump, he always has to make sure that I am in the exact right spot. And he will make sure I'm in that exact right spot because he is scared of jumping in the pool. And he has to know that I will be exactly where he needs me to be to catch him. And yet when he says that, I often remind him, "Son, I'm your father. What do you think I'm going to do to you here? Right? I'm going to make sure I catch you no matter where I am because I love you." And so too, though waiting on the Lord may be scary at times, we don't need to worry because we have God as our Father in Jesus Christ. And just as we human fathers love our children and take care of them, so having God as our Father, we know that He is always with us to bless us and take care of us. And having God as our Father, He's always with us to use the trials He brings into our lives for our good for good purposes, that we would be brought closer and closer to Him. And that as our Father, He's sovereignly ensuring that everything that happens, from the greatest details of life to the smallest details of life, are being carried out according to His perfect plan for our lives. And as our Father in heaven, most of all, He has given us His only begotten Son, who, yes, would have to suffer and wait upon Him, but would do so in perfect faith upon the Lord for us. And you realize it's because of all those things that when we have to wait on the Lord, we can trust in the Lord, no matter how difficult and how long it may be. So yes, there will be difficult times of waiting. Sometimes it will seem as if it's coming to an end. But at other times, it may be unexpectedly prolonged. And yet, brothers and sisters, when it is, know that if you are in Christ, you can always, always trust in the Lord. And so let's pray now and let's ask for His help to do that even this week. Our Father in heaven, we thank You as we do every week for this portion of Your Word. We confess, Lord, that when we have to wait upon You, and certainly when we have to wait upon other people or other things to happen, we often grow very impatient because we think that we are God and that we deserve to have everything right now as we would like it. And yet, Lord, we are not God, and often You call us as Your people to wait upon You. And so we pray for Your forgiveness today, and we pray that You would give us great faith in You. Lord, we thank You that Joseph had so many reasons to trust in You, even as his waiting was unexpectedly prolonged, and that You have given us those same reasons to trust in You, even as our waiting can be unexpectedly prolonged. And so we pray, Lord, for those who are waiting today and for all of us as we experience waiting upon You in our lives here on earth, that You'd give us the grace to trust You. Lord, help us to remember what You are doing. Help us to remember who You are, and to help us to apply those things to our lives. Lord, give us the wisdom we need, as James teaches us, that we would respond rightly to the trials You lovingly bring into our lives. Help us to do that, we pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen.